want to talk to you about Pentecost. It's Pentecost Sunday. The church worldwide celebrates Pentecost. And what is that? Well, Pentecost was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And how many people know where that is in your Bibles? In the book of Acts, right? Now, a lot of people think, and they'll tell you this, that Pentecost is some kind of newfangled thing. And they'll refer to the Azusa Street revival that happened at the turn of the century, 1800 to 1900s, and they'll refer to that. Well, that was the birth of the Assemblies of God Church and certain other Pentecostal churches. But let me assure you of something. What they experienced there has been happening for centuries from the very beginning back to the Word of God itself. And so, yes, here in America, that was one of the most widespread events to happen. But if you study it out, it happened in other places in America as well. It was happening in Europe, around the world, in all kinds of places. So I don't want anyone to think that the Pentecostal experience is some kind of new thing. But rather, it's an old thing that God had prepared all through the Old Testament. I'm not here actually today to do some type of a history lesson and to walk you through how the Old Testament brought us to where we are today. But rather, I want us to, in a sense, hear some stories about it. But before we do that, we do need to see where Pentecost first happened in the Bible. If you turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus is with his disciples. He had risen from the dead. So we have the four Gospels before the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the life accounts of Jesus when he was born and lived on the earth. And then at the end of those four Gospels, he gives his life on the cross of Calvary. And then he is, what, dead and buried? And came back to life 3 days later, victorious over sin and the grave. Praise the Lord. Amen. And through that time, if you read the Gospels, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit a lot of places, but primarily if you go to John, you see John chapter 14 to John chapter 16, spends a lot of time talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit, of what was going to happen. And it was all going to happen because he hadn't sent his Holy Spirit yet. And so here he is in the book of Acts. He's been with his disciples. He's been risen from the dead. He's hanging out with them. And he gives them some final instructions on the Holy Spirit. And so I want to pick this up in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. And it says this, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" And so as we look at this scripture, Jesus is he's saying, look, there's something coming. And he says, you need to wait for it. Now, I don't know about you, but here in the Northeast, we don't like to wait for anything. Like, you know, they call it a New York minute, right? In other words, we want it now. In fact, now's not soon enough. I wanted it yesterday. You know, and the thing is, when God tells you and I to wait, we have some trouble with that. We don't like to wait. And so what happens sometimes? I believe that sometimes we end up with second best or third best or something that wasn't part of God's plan. And so the first step in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what? Tarry or wait. And we know that this isn't just a Northeast issue. Because I'm not going to get into where the scriptures are, but there were 500 people that heard Jesus say, look, wait in Jerusalem. There were 500 of them. The Apostle Paul said so. There were witnesses to what Jesus had to say. And yet when we read, and again, we're not going to look at this today, there's only 120 in the upper room when the Holy Spirit comes. Well, here's my question. What happened to the 380? They didn't wait. They didn't wait. So here's my question to you today before we even move on. Are you willing to tarry for all that God's got for you? Are you willing to be patient? Are you willing to let him have time in your life? And that's difficult. I don't like to wait. How many people don't like to wait here? Yeah, okay, I'm with you. I put both my hands up if I could. All right, listen, I am an impatient person. But here's what I've learned, that when I have been impatient with the Lord, I have missed out over and over and over again. And I know it. I know it. In fact, a story that just I didn't tell this at the first service, but I was looking for a new van. And so I'm one of those guys, I shop, I look. So I ended up getting this van, and I was impatient. I knew in my heart I shouldn't have done it. So I get this thing, you know, and it's fine. I've got it. And a couple of weeks later, another deal came along that was way better. And you know what the Lord said to me? That was your van. That was your van. You get what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, I repent. In other words, we all are impatient. All of us in different parts of our lives. And we need to allow the peace of God that's given to us by the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us in this life. We just got to learn to be patient. And that's a big prerequisite right here. And so he says what? Be patient for what? For not many days from now, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? He actually talks about it a little bit about what it is. Because the disciples think, oh, that means that we're going to be able to take over Israel and throw out the Romans. Because that's what they said. The disciples said, are you going to restore Israel at this time? He says, no. He says, no. You don't worry about the times of the seasons. That's in the Father's hands. Again, back to this whole patience thing. We all want to know what's going on. But the Lord, he knows what he's doing. Think about this. Ingrid was saying this, talking about breathing in and breathing out. Do you know that by the word of God that everything we see and everything we can't see is sustained by his word? Literally, sustained by this platform I'm standing on. If God withdrew his word, it would just collapse and be gone. You understand? It's just an amazing that his word sustains everything. And so when the creator of the universes says, wait, what do you think? Probably a good idea, right? Because he sustains everything. He knows what he's doing. But look at verse 8. Here's what he says. He says, but you, and this is referring to when the Holy Spirit comes, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you shall what? Receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so here's Jesus himself telling us the most important reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's for what? Power. That word power, there's two Greek words for power in the Bible. One speaks of authority and position. The other Greek word is here, and it's dunamis. And think D, okay? Just remember the word D. It's the same as dynamite. In other words, it's the explosive, manifest power of God. That's literally what he's saying here. He's saying, look, you're going to receive a stick of dynamite and a way to light the thing. All right? That's literally what he's saying. To do what? To do what? To be witnesses to who? What does it say? Witnesses to me. Who's speaking? See, a lot of times when you read that fast, you think to be witnesses to the world. That's just automatic. But it says the first priority is to be a witness to Jesus. What's he mean by that? Here's the thing. Because you have the Holy Spirit already. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the abiding Holy Spirit in you. When you become born again, he's already inside of you. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another level where you have yielded the members of your body. Your tongue, primarily, but the rest of your body, your mind, your heart, your soul, to the presence and the power of God. That's why one of the evidences we're going to read in a little while is speaking in tongues. Why? Because your body, your tongue, you've yielded your tongue to the presence of God to be able to speak that way. And so there's a yielding. But here's the thing. Witness to me. Witness to Jesus. You know what Jesus wants to see in you more than anything? Himself. He wants to see a reflection of him in and through you. And the word witness, that word actually means to be a martyr. So it doesn't mean that we all go out and we're going to necessarily die. But what it means is that we're self-sacrificing in our nature, in the way we are. In other words, to be a witness to Jesus may cause some people to have some trouble with you at work. You understand what I'm saying? May mean that you're not so popular at school anymore. You begin to see what I'm saying. And that's part of being a witness for Jesus. But here's the thing, the benefits far outweigh any of the sacrifices that you make. And then he goes on and says, okay, you're going to be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and at the ends of the earth. So it's not just that you're standing by yourself at home in the presence of God saying, I'm being a witness to you. But the idea is, as he sees the reflection of himself in you, you then go forth and reach, in our case, Hyde Park, Poughkeepsie, Dutchess County, New York State, in the case of Rose and Roberto and the team we're sending, what? Around the world with a witness of who Jesus is. So back again, let's review this. What's the reason why you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So that you can receive power. Power. power, his power. It isn't something you're trying to conjure up. And it's not because you have some kind of, you know, electric personality that you're making it happen. It's separate from that. It's not you. It's Christ in you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. It's life-changing. And so how does this work? And we're going to talk about this for just a moment. First of all, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You become born again. We saw a picture of a little baby, right? And that little baby was born once, right? Just as all of us started out as little babies. But I'm talking about when you're born again, when you accept Christ into your life. Well, what happens then, usually, after you accept Christ, you become what? Water baptized. And then the next step is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes it gets all clumped together. Sometimes it's a little bit reversed, where some people are baptized in the Holy Spirit before they're water baptized. That does happen. But the point is, it all happens as part of what? Your spiritual journey. Now, I want to say this right now, and it's really important. I don't look down on anyone who has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, I don't see you as less of some other person who's baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not how I look at it and how any of us should look at it. But rather that each and every one of us are on a spiritual journey. And as part of that spiritual journey, we have these mile markers that we run across. For example, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the first mile marker. And then hopefully the next mile marker is you're water baptized as an adult. That's an important thing that needs to happen in your life. And then there's another mile marker to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. Does God love you more after you're baptized in the Holy Spirit than when you first accepted him? No, not at all. So why should we think any different of people that way as well? We should treat everyone with esteem, treat everyone equally. But having said that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will enable you to do things that you couldn't do before. And that's really what I want for you today. And so there's some here, right here in our midst, right here, that some are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some of you aren't. So does that make it an us and them? You know, two camps. Okay, Holy Spirit-filled people on this side, kind of like at a wedding, right, where the bride and groom, they have the family on one side or the other. You know, okay, we put the non-tongue speakers on the other side. No way, because God loves each one, every one of us equally. And the thing is that we're all on a journey. But here's what my hope is for everyone within the sound of my voice right now. That you're waiting for it. That you're yearning for it. That you're believing for it. Because it's good for you. And it's good for Jesus. Okay, that's really what I'm hoping. Not so much whether you got it or you don't have it, but that you're desiring it. And that you see that it's important. And so I could take all kinds of time and go through scripture and show you places and try to convince you. But you know, there's another way to do it. How about we have a couple people share their experience and we can learn from that and see how it helped them in their spiritual walk with the Lord. So put your hands together. We got Brian Nugent's coming up and Marianne Torres. Come on up. I'm just going to move the chairs a little bit different because my neck got broken last time. There we go. It's cool. All right. Well, welcome back.
Hello.
All right, just a minute. You got her on back there?
Can you hear me?
Nope. Let's see here. Let's make sure everyone's... Just a second. Yeah, it's green.
Check.
It's green.
There. Okay.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Sounds like a telephone commercial, right? Brian, you're okay?
I'm good.
Oh, good. All right. Okay, so the reason why I've asked these two special individuals up is because their stories are quite contrasting, kind of like one side to the other. Both are good, but they're just different. And so that's what I want you to see today, that our experience to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is tailored and unique to our circumstances. Sometimes because of things that have happened in our lives, there's hindrances. There's all kinds of different variables. But here's the important thing. They both came to the same conclusion. That's the important part.
Yeah.
So Brian, how long have you known the Lord?
It'll be 4 years this November.
Okay, so a fairly new believer, okay? Marianne, what about you?
I got saved when I was 13. So 40 years ago.
Wow. So some time ago. Some time ago.
Yes, yeah,
wow.
Time.
Okay. So, you know, we're not here today to talk about so much our salvation experience, you know, that we'll do that another time. But what I want to focus on, obviously, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, that experience subsequent to being saved. So, Brian, what happened in your case?
So it was just a few months after I accepted Christ. It was November 15, and then January 11th, 2016. I'll never forget the day because I wrote it down. It was all I knew was that there was a God, and he became real to me. I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything other than that there was a God. So it was a late night where I spent a good amount of time in prayer on my knees, praying on my bedroom window, and just asking millions of questions. I mean, you name it. I don't even remember the questions I asked. But I knew he was hearing me. And then he poured out his spirit to me that night.
Now, did you know what happened at that moment?
No idea. I found out in a foundation class 2 months later that I had experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
So did it kind of freak you out at the moment?
No, not at all. When I received the Spirit, I did. He gave me a word that I wrote down, but it was a joy that overcame me beyond. You can't even record it. I like the illustration David used in Psalm 23, where my cup runneth over. Yeah. And I like the illustration I tell people, which is a picture holding a little cup under the faucet, and you turn on the water, and a fire hose comes out of it, and it blows the cup over. And that was my experience. It was amazing.
Amen. That's cool. Well, Marianne, what about you?
So my experience is quite different. I remember being in high school, and at the time I used to go to the mission church, and I wanted to speak in tongues. So I went up for prayer. There was an altar call, so I went up and I asked to be prayed over. So the lady that was praying over me told me to just fake it until you make it type of thing, kind of like just start babbling and it'll come. So I'm, 17, 18 years old, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't do that. I can't be fake, because to me, that's not what God would want me to be. It's like a lie to me. That's what it felt like. So I was like, I'm not going to fake it. So, and she has said to me, you know, you have to be willing to look like a fool for God. So I thought to myself, all right, so I'm okay with that. So if I have to look like a fool, what I'm going to do is I'm going to praise the Lord in Spanish. Because that way, I'm not being fake. But yet to people, I'll sound like a fool because they don't know Spanish. So I'm like, okay, so I'll do that. So I start doing that. And she says to me, no. You can't praise the Lord in Spanish. You really have to just make up like no-nonsense words. And I just remember walking away thinking, that is so fake. I just can't do that. So I said, Lord, you're just going to have to give it to me in a miraculous way because I'm not going to fake it. And so I get married. We start raising a family. We switch churches. This new church that we go to, they don't believe in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So, and I was there for a long, long time. So, it wasn't encouraged. In my relationship, it wasn't encouraged. So I kind of like lost, I guess, the desire. I mean, I kind of wanted it still, but it was not forefront. We're busy raising a family. We're working on a house. And just, that's how it was. So, come to a point in my life where my life kind of falls apart. I'm getting divorced. And I say to myself, I can't stay in this church. I said, I know I'm not going to get the support spiritually that I need right now because I'm like a big mess. So I came here. So I'm here. And this was early on. It was around 2013. So it's almost 30 years from when I was in high school all the way to when I actually received it. So I'm sitting here in worship. I'm sitting with Brian and Brenda. We're worshiping the Lord. It was early 2013, and it just came. It just was just like a miracle. It just came. I wasn't really thinking about it, but it just started. And then after I was done, I was like, what just happened? So I started crying, and I turned around to Brenda, and Brenda's hugging me because she's thinking I'm upset over, you know, what was going on in my life at the time, but it wasn't. It was like tears of joy, yeah, because I felt like finally I got it.
awesome.
So that's my story.
Amen. So let's go back to Brian for a minute. Since that time, how did your life change? And obviously you became born again, you know, and change happens with that. But after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, did you notice any changes in your life?
Yes.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
So where do you start? I mean, it's a life walk, meaning he's changing us every day. But started reading the Bible, the Spirit started to communicate with me, telling me, you know, a lot of things that I've been doing wrong. And I didn't understand why they were wrong. And he would show me. He would teach me. He's the greatest teacher. So he'd say, hey, you know, this is wrong. And I'm like, well, I don't get it. I think it's right. And I would have this conversation. He'd teach you. And just as Jesus said, leading from temptation and delivering from evil. That's what he does. It's so awesome.
So did you feel forced to make these changes? Or what was your sense as the Lord was speaking to you during these times?
Force? No way. God will never force you to do anything. Leading as you allow it. I came up with a saying, he pulls you forward to the willingness of your heart. And I like that because it's true. I mean, as the Spirit shows you something, bringing it to the altar and saying, I don't get it, help me, doesn't make any sense. Because what we think is actually contrary to what he is. You know, our minds are not able to understand his ways. So when we don't understand his ways, he teaches us how. It's pretty cool.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit. Has to.
So Marianne, what changed after you had your experience here?
After I had my experience, I would say boldness.
Okay.
And just, I guess, power. Because it gave me more boldness at work. You know, if any of you work in a school district, you know what it's like. They don't want to mix state and religion, and that's big. So it gave me boldness at work. So praying for people.
Yeah.
Like I see people who are hopping around on a little scooter or something, and I'll go, can I pray with you later? And they always say yes.
Awesome.
And then you get known kind of like, you know, she prays with people.
She's the lady.
She's the lady. So, you know, I'll get, you know, a little tug in the hallway. Can I come down to your office and can you pray with me? So we sneak off to a conference room and we pray. So Amen. It's given me boldness.
Amen. You know, as I've heard the stories here, and I think of Marianne talking about her difficult circumstances she went through, there's a portion in the Bible. In fact, I think you guys can bring it up on the screen. I think it is Acts 4. Acts 4, 31. And the disciples had just been persecuted horribly. And so they go to the Lord and they pray. And it says the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know, this is the same group that were baptized in the Holy Spirit just a couple chapters before. And the point being that they needed a refilling because of what was going on in their lives. And one of the main reasons is for boldness, just like that you're saying. And, you know, how many people could use a dose of boldness in their lives? You know, and the thing is, it's not just for our spiritual walk. It's for our natural walk. You know, Brian, I know at the earlier service you talked a little bit about this. How has being filled with the Holy Spirit affected you on your job?
In many ways, being in the car business, selling cars in the finance department, I have gotten used to doing things a certain way, if you will. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know, he taught me integrity, and he continues to do so because it's a daily thing for me. You know, I got used to doing a lot of things, and I like that. I like that he took that ability, and he's leading me and teaching me what it means to hold fast to integrity.
Amen. So, you know, Marianne, you know, there's some people out here that have not experience the Holy Spirit as you guys have. What would you say to them to encourage them?
So for me, I would encourage you, because I'll just share with you a little bit of the thoughts that were going through my head way back. You know, people will tell you, well, you know, they're a bunch of fakes, you know, watch me, I can do it too, and they just babble some incoherent words, and they're like, you know, they're all fakes. What God showed me is that Yeah, there may be some people faking it out there, but you're not to worry about them. This is you and me. So you can't be thinking about them. And yeah, there may be fakes out there, but you know, there's a lot of real experiences with the Holy Spirit that you can have. And God wants you to have those.
That's good.
That's one thing. So, you know, listening, you know, comparing yourself to other people, and that's no good.
Yeah.
Another thing is pressing in. You know, at the time when I was going through my divorce, I was like, I was in the Word, and it felt like every devotional that I was reading was like what I needed that day. It was God and me close. And I think we all need to press in to get to that level where we're like looking for that relationship,
yes,
that closeness. Because right soon after is when I finally got it.
Amen. You know, we don't want to give up. Again, if you're here and you may have been in the Lord for 30 years, Jesus still wants you to experience his presence in the fullness. It's for him and for you. And you know, as you've heard right here, a couple of testimonies, we could bring others up and do the same thing. But it's just important for you to realize this gift is for you. And in fact, I didn't read this at the first service, but just listen to this one verse. Peter, before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, was running away when people were saying, I thought I saw you with Jesus. And he denied. After he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he preaches to 3,000 people. And here's what he says at the very end of it. This is Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That promise is for us today as well. Amen. So let's do this. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up. We're going to be closing in a couple minutes. Could Brian and Brenda Bobby come up? They're going to lead us through that song, As in Heaven, again, as we're closing. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to provide an opportunity for you for a couple of things. To be either baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may have been water baptized, but you have not experienced speaking in tongues. You might say, well, hold it. Listen to me. The Bible says, I'm not going to argue with what someone else has told you. I'm not going to argue with what even you think. Let's go with what the Bible says. Amen? And so, if you've never experienced that, and you want to, because, again, you have to be willing to wait and want and pray. That's kind of the qualifications here. Or you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe recently, maybe 20 years ago, and you want a refilling. In fact, we read the scripture from Acts 4 where they prayed again and the place was shaken again and they were refilled. You know why we need to be filled? I love what Pastor Vic has said for years. I've been here with him for 25 years and he's probably said it thousands of times. He says that we need to be refilled because we leak. We leak. In other words, as we rub with this world, as we're having bad things happen in this world and different things go on, man, we need a refilling, a refreshing, a reviving, in a sense, of the Holy Spirit. So whatever qualifications you fit on, a new filling, a refilling, we want to do that. And so with the leaders, obviously I'd love to have Marianne and Brian to be part of this group praying for people. But if you're part of the leadership and you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to come forward, just to stand up here, just to be up here so that other people can say, hey, I'm here for you. All right? And so if you need prayer, just while this music's going on, come on up. We'll pray for you and believe God for a fresh filling for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.